How many believe he's a way maker? One more time. How many believe he's a way maker? Amen. I do. I know it. Amen. You may be seated today. I told Troy he better preach. Go ahead, man. Great worship today, and it's great to be back home. Thank you. I heard last week was awesome with Pastor Kim preaching, and as we celebrated the miracle of Laura and our church and how God took the brain tumor out of her brain, and I believe that God does miracles today. How about you? How many believe that? I believe he does it today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to welcome you both in person and online. It's an honor to have you watching all over the world and all over our city. And it's our heart to do our best every weekend and to serve you and your family. And I'm excited. It's hard to believe that the Easter season is upon us. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Easter. And I'm excited we get to have in-person, you know, services this year as opposed to last year. And this is a great time of year for us to invite our family and our friends. And so this series of Second Chance is really talking about miracles of resurrections in the scripture leading up to the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, if you would please, and it may be different for you to reserve seating to come to church, please know that Summer and I are going to do the same. Because we're trying to keep you safe as we navigate COVID-19. So it may be different, but online and in person, thank you for doing that. So we know about how many people are coming to each worship experience so that we can do our best and prepare. So thank you for doing that. And our kids are going to get their ticket for City Kids. So, you know, please do it. And I believe God's going to give us so many people coming to Jesus. How many know someone you can invite to Easter? I know I do. And I pray I just drag them here. Just wake them up, go to their house, bang on their door and say, we're going to church and get them. And I believe the Lord is going to minister to them. Amen. I want to preach today a message entitled 4 Days Late and a Friend. 4 Days Late and a Friend. I'm talking about the story of Lazarus, as I just mentioned, in the theme of resurrections in the scriptures, leading up to, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. And this is really one of the most pronounced miracles that Jesus did. When I was in Israel, we went to the tomb, as they believe, of Lazarus. It was amazing to see over the thousands of years and the evolution of the city and the buildings and stuff. It's now elevated from where the tomb is, so you have to walk down so many steps to get to where they believe he was. But even if that wasn't it, just seeing the type of tomb that it was and the idea of Jesus standing on a street corner, basically, and saying, Lazarus, come out. And just imagining a dead man coming out alive again, Jesus is awesome, isn't he? I mean, it's amazing. And I believe this story connects to you and I on an everyday level. And I want to read some of the verses. It's really a long story, so I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit just for time to give you the essence of it. And then I want to pull out two thoughts I believe speak to us today and the idea of a second chance. Because God's never late. God is on time. Now, we may think he's late, but he is always on time. Amen? So, Father, I thank you so much for this great day. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Thank you for being in this place. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room and online, all over this campus and the online campus, we would lay down any resistance we may be feeling or have right now. We would set aside distraction. We would lean in and receive something from you today. We would move forward in our faith. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. If not, they're going to show these verses on the screen. I want to read John chapter 11, starting at verse 35. Then I'm going to jump to verse 39 through 34, or through 44, excuse me. This is the shortest verse in the Bible in verse 35. Then Jesus wept. So if you want to have a Bible verse memorized, do that one. Then Jesus wept. Then he said in verse 39, roll the stone aside. Jesus told them, but Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. So notice she wanted a miracle, but she was resisting God. And she said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Now, the idea of this series, as I mentioned, is talking about different resurrections in the scripture. And you think about a second chance for Mary and Martha. I mean, it doesn't get any more dramatic than this. They had a second chance with their brother. They had a second chance of more time, more dinners, more memories, more days with their brother before all of them would pass away and go be with Jesus in heaven eventually. And so this was a major event. And this miracle shook up all of the religious order. If you read on in the Gospel of John, later on the priests were targeting Lazarus because after he was raised from the dead, so many people were coming to Jesus because of this miracle. This is a phenomenal story of a second chance. And I wonder today in this room and online if any of us in our lifetime have wished we could have a second chance. Maybe in a relationship, maybe in a moment where we lost our temper, we made a mistake, we hurt someone, someone hurt us, who knows what it is, or we missed a moment, and we think, man, if I could just have a second chance and make that right or do something different. All of us understand that feeling because all of us have made mistakes, all of us have been in situations where maybe we have felt, man, I wish I could have a second chance. I'll never forget this story of one of my moments when I wanted a second chance. It was probably about 18 years ago. I went to get something to eat. I was in the office of our old building at a different location, and I went to get some lunch, and I got a little pizza and some breadsticks. And this may sound trite to some of you, but I just want you to please stay with me, because it's a moment that I regret. I remember I was eating some pizza and eating some of the breadsticks, and I had to get back to the church, and so I had some food to go. And so I had breadsticks in a sack that I hadn't touched. And I got back to the church, and I pulled into where the office door was, and there was a car next to me that was not normally there, and there was a young lady inside the car in the passenger seat. And when I got out of the car, I just felt this prompting. And now I know it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. I just really felt led to give her my breadsticks or to ask her if she wanted them. And then I started second guessing. She's going to think I'm crazy and that's not the Lord. I'm hungry after all. I need to eat, you know. I was rationalizing everything. And so I didn't do it. And so then I went up this back staircase. And as I was going up the staircase, I could hear this other door that was further down the building open and close, and it was a lady coming out, and she got into her car as I kind of watched them, and she left, and I went on into the church. And I asked Pastor Chad, I said, you know, who were these individuals? And she said, well, this lady was just here, and they need food so bad, and they were asking for some food. I felt so bad, and I ran out, and they'd already driven away, and I missed my moment to give this lady just some breadsticks that I felt the Holy Spirit give me. I wanted a second chance. I wonder today what moment in your life, maybe a moment even today, you want a second chance. And here's the wonderful thing. God is not a time traveler. He's not going to take us back in time and then, you know, we fix it and then we come back into this present moment. But God can in some way. Old things pass away in Jesus, and the Bible says all things, come on, right? All things can become new in Jesus. And so God can give us second chances in ways that maybe we don't understand or we don't see, but when we come to Jesus, he can make a way for us. What's amazing about this story, and I'm just going to pull out two big thoughts for us today to really drive this home. But when I see verse 35, if you read the whole story, and I want to encourage you to read John 11 on your own, but Jesus, the Bible says, knelt down and he wept. In verse 35, then Jesus wept. If you read this, the story of Jesus, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. His sisters were a friend of Jesus. Jesus went to their home on more than one occasion to have dinner with them. And so he was connected to this family. He was connected to other people. This speaks to us today that Jesus didn't live isolated in a spiritual bubble just with his Father, if you will. Jesus was connected in community. In fact, did you know in the Gospel of Luke that it says that Jesus went to church every Sabbath? Jesus went to church. So if Jesus went to church, it's good that we're here right now, and it's good we're watching online. Come on, in your bathrobe and coffee cup. Come on, somebody. And Jesus was crying. And that speaks to me that he was connected to more than just himself. You know, today I want to encourage you to be connected in the body of Christ. I didn't make this up. The Bible did. You know, Jesus did. Be connected into community. Overcome trepidation, distrust, fear, awkwardness, maybe past hurts, and connect in community and have relationships, of course, outside of church, but have them in church. Go to Next Steps. It's the gateway to everything here at City. Think about a group. Think about the dream team. Think about the food outreach. That's why, you know, even that missed moment that I had 18 years ago with that with those two ladies and just a simple, you know, sack of three breadsticks. That's one reason why I love giving all this food away today, because that memory is in my mind, and I just enjoy being able to overcome my mistake in the past and give something today, 30,000 pounds of food this Saturday. Come on, somebody. That's the goodness of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that the devil always wants to isolate us. Jesus always wants to insulate us. Don't isolate. Insulate. Be connected. Notice Jesus lived in the moment, and he was willing to be in a relationship with this family. And then when he died, he felt it. He wept. And it's good that we live in that way, that we open our heart to other people and we don't shut down, but we live openly, yes, outside of church, but we do it also in church. Can someone say amen? So this is what speaks to me, how I want to bring this down to our level. The first thought is Jesus had tears and knows our tears. Jesus had his own tears and he knows our tears too. This is very important. Please lean in on this, because oftentimes we kind of miss some of these details in scripture for whatever reason. Psalms 56 verse 8 says this: "You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Meaning every tear we've cried, God has somehow caught them. I don't know how this is, but I'm doing this. I don't know if he does that or not, but he catches them, and it's recorded, not only our words, not only our prayers. This is fascinating. Our tears are recorded in the book of God. And everyone has cried on the inside, and maybe even cried, obviously, on the outside physically. And Jesus cried a few times, as we see in Scripture. He cried over Lazarus. We know that he grieved over his cousin John the Baptist. And then we know he cried over all the city of Jerusalem because they refused him. Jesus had tears, and Jesus sees our tears too. What's amazing is Jesus not only sympathizes, but Jesus empathizes with everything we have felt. Think about this just for a moment. Jesus went through grief as his cousin and his good friend both died. He went through loss, betrayal, love, kindness, generosity of others. He also faced manipulation, lying, strife, family hardships. Even in the Gospel of Mark, his own siblings didn't believe in him for a while. Then he dealt with friendship issues and so much more. Jesus went through all this, and because he went through all this, and when I see this story of this man dying, it was a setup. Even though he was 4 days late to this family's calendar, obviously it was a resurrection, and yet he showed this emotion even before this fantastic miracle. And that speaks to you and I, because our tears, maybe in the past or maybe even this morning, in our heart or in our physical eyes, are telling a story. Because just like Jesus, all of us in this room and online have faced grief, loss, betrayal, love, kindness, generosity, and unfortunately, manipulation. All of us have faced family crisis and issues, friendship issues, lying, and so much more. But here's what's fascinating. All those tears are stored up in heaven, and Jesus can do something about our tears. They're not wasted. Think about this. Our tears are not wasted today. God takes them, and somehow he is turning all things for the good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So that means that when I'm heartbroken or I'm crying because of disappointment or misunderstanding, or maybe my heart is sick because the hope is deferred or whatever it is, please hear me. The enemy wants us to shut down. God wants us to open up because nothing is in vain, not even one tear that falls from our cheek. He sees everything and he understands everything, and he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother today. So I want to encourage you to open your heart and believe in the tears. Open your heart and believe in the sorrow. Open your heart and believe that God can do something great for you. And if he's 4 days late on your clock, he's right on time with his clock, and he's setting you up for a second chance. And he can do what we can't do. Hear me today. The enemy loves to sow offense and shut us down and get us disgruntled and get us sideways, and we don't believe this anymore, and we don't believe that anymore, and that person did this and this person did that. And maybe all that's true, but we have to have our faith in Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is a hard truth, and it's not easy, but some people may leave and some people may come and some people may stay in our lives, but God is a constant. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And when I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because our God is with me. Come on, give him praise today. I believe this God is for you. What area of your life, maybe a relationship, maybe a dream, maybe your health, maybe your mind, maybe your family, what area of your life are you asking God for a second chance? You know, my moment, and I've had many moments of saying yes to God and moving on those leadings of the Holy Spirit. And I've had some great moments, and I've had also too many moments where I've talked myself out of doing what I feel to do. How about you? And so in those moments of being led by God and the second chance of God and moving in God, I want you to understand that he knows your tears and he can do something for you. Our challenge is his ways are not our ways, Isaiah 55. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And if I read the whole story to you, what's amazing is they went and told Jesus before Lazarus died, your friend, the Bible says, is sick. And Jesus said, don't worry about him. And stayed where he was several days later until Lazarus died, and thus we have the story being set up. Now, here's what else stands out to me. A second chance, here's the second thought. A second chance shows God's glory. Jesus said to them in verse 40, if you will believe, this is amazing. Notice this. He said, if you will believe first, you will see the glory of God. Notice he doesn't show us the glory first, then we believe. I want you to stay with me on this Sunday morning, because it's nice outside and it's nice inside too. It's springtime. Hallelujah. We have to believe first, then we see the glory of God. It's not we see the glory of God and now I believe. There's a part in our faith that we have to believe first, then we see the glory of God. If you don't know Jesus, receive Jesus today. If you're far from him, get back to him. If you're close to him, understand this principle is for all of us. We have to keep believing when we see it and when we don't. And as we do that, we will see the glory of God. Now, in this story, what's amazing is, and this represents, these two sisters represent a Christian family. Martha was begging Jesus to come 4 days earlier. He comes 4 days late for his friend, and now she's protesting, not just this time. Again, if I read the whole story, she's arguing with Jesus on about two or three points. Yes, the resurrection is not the last day, and I know he will be raised up on the last day. Jesus said, no, today I am the resurrection and the life. I'm talking about your brother's coming out right now. Oh, I don't know if I believe that. That's challenging our faith. A faith for tomorrow or a faith for today. Then in this part of the story, Jesus says, roll the stone away. So he's getting ready. He's wept. He's late. And he's getting ready to do something. Excuse me. He's getting ready to do something. And what happens is he says, roll the stone away. And she protests and says, he's going to stink. In other words, don't do that. He stinks. She's blocking her blessing. She's resisting the Son of God. And what stood out to me about this story is that Jesus didn't even answer her complaint about his smell, which means to me, Jesus didn't care how he smelled. Jesus was just focused on my friend's going to come back to life. And you around me are going to hear me pray to my Father, and you're going to believe that God sent me because you're about to see a dead man come out of the grave. Now, here's how this connects to you and I. Jesus doesn't care, or he doesn't care about our smell either. But many times when it comes to a second chance and it comes to things in our life that we're asking God to do something with, we can protest to Jesus and say, but Jesus, I know you want to give me a second chance, maybe at marriage. I know you want to restore my family. I know you want to give me a second chance at, you know, obeying you and doing what you've told me to do. I know you want to give me a second chance in business or whatever it is. And then it's easy for us to say, but you don't know the smell of division in our home. You don't know the smell of selfishness. You don't know the smell of manipulation and complaining and hurt and unforgiveness. See, all these excuses. All the rage, the greed, the anger, the pride, the lust in private, the grudges, the gossip, the strife, the greed, the addiction. You don't know all the stench. In other words, no. You're not going to roll the stone away. I'm embarrassed of the smell. I don't want you to smell my brother. He's been dead for, all of us are going to smell his death. We don't want that. It's easy for us in our modern time to do the same thing. Jesus, but you don't know about the stench. And Jesus looks right back at us and says, I don't care how bad you smell. I want you to be made whole, and I want to give you a second chance. This is just simply called human pride. But God, I don't want to show you my bad stuff. I don't want to show you the odor of my baggage of unforgiveness and grudges and doubt and unbelief and manipulation and hardness in my marriage. I don't want to show you that. Guess what? He already sees it. So he's waiting on us to give it. Because when we give it to him, he can do something about it. Oh, the resurrection power of Jesus. I heard one man of God say this, that if Jesus wouldn't have said Lazarus, if he just would have said, come out, that he believes, and I believe this too from just studying the scriptures and theology, if Jesus would have said, come out, that every dead person in Jerusalem would have come out of the grave because there's so much resurrection power in Jesus. So he had to specifically say, Lazarus, only you come out, and he came out of the grave. And what I'm saying to you is God knows specifically where you're at. He knows specifically where I'm at. He knows the baggage of our past, present, and he knows what we're afraid of in the future. And he's not embarrassed of our odor. He's not embarrassed of our failure. He's not embarrassed of our shame. He's not embarrassed of our embarrassment. He's not embarrassed of our struggle. He wants it all. And he's saying, roll away the stone. In other words, expose the odor. Expose all the secrets. Expose all the junk and let God have it, because he's about ready to say, come out of that grave. Get out of that grave clothes. Get out of that condition. Get out of that bondage. Get out of that state. And some would say, but PD, he could move the stone himself. He's the Son of God. That speaks to you and I today of a truth in closing, that Jesus could have done a lot of things. But he wanted them to move the stone away, and he wanted them to embrace the impossibility of a man who had been rotting for 4 days. I've studied a message by a man that I really admire who did research of all that happened in Lazarus's body within a four-day time after death. It's phenomenal in the sense of his body was already decaying. Bugs had already begun to eat the skin. He was in total decay by the fourth day. And when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out," it wasn't only the man's spirit came back in his body. The skin came back on his bones. His eyes came back in his sockets. His lips came back. His tongue. Everything that was taken by the natural process of death and what happens to the body, especially at that time, being buried almost like in a cave, all that was put back when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." Man, that's powerful. And think about all the lying and all the abuse and all the distrust and all the hate and all the grudges and all the doubt and unbelief and all the stuff that we have in our life, the fear and all of this, the blaming, et cetera, addiction. Think about all that withers away our faith and eats away our skin and eats away our hope and eats away our belief. But when Jesus comes and he says, "Come out," he restores it all. Hear me today. When he's 4 days late, he's right on time. And there's nothing in our past that Jesus can't give a second chance to and show the glory of God. I love the part he said, "Unwrap his grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. He's a new man." In this season of Easter, last week you heard about Jesus raising up a young girl whose parents were devastated by her death. And Jesus raised her up. This week we're hearing about his personal friend, and Jesus raised him up. And today, Jesus is coming to your house. You may not have a physically dead person in your life that you are burying today, or that you have a funeral coming up. Maybe you do, I don't know. But I do know this, that Jesus can give you a second chance. And Jesus can resurrect what is dead. Jesus can do the impossible. He knows your tears, and I believe that all the circumstances that we are facing in this topic reveal the glory of God, and God will get the glory. So come out and let God have your odor. He's going to heal you and make you whole. How many believe in this Jesus today? I believe in this Jesus. I believe this to be true. Let's stand to our feet, and you online, thank you for responding to God too. This is the best part every weekend. I pray right now for all of us that as we would bow our heads and bow our hearts to the Lord, there's no doubt in my mind just by a living life that just like me with that story of the breadsticks, maybe more serious moments. I have more serious moments. I'm sure you do too. We would say, "I wish I had a second chance." And I'm telling you today, Jesus is the one that gives a second chance. Right now, if you don't know Jesus, you've never called on Jesus to be your Savior, and or you have, but you're far from him, this is your day to come back to him. Right now in this room and online, if you have never received Christ and or you feel in your heart you're far from God, today is a day of salvation. And you know that's you, and you want to take that step. Right now, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you today. God bless you today. Thank you. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Now, how many would say this? You know, Pastor Dave, like Martha, I need a second chance in my marriage, maybe in my parenting, in my finance, in my health, in my mind. Again, who knows what area, but you would say, "I need a second chance." And maybe you find yourself like Martha, you're protesting. But God, you don't know the smell of my past. You don't know the smell of my mess ups. You don't know the odor that I have from embarrassment and shame. And I want to roll the stone away, and I want to give you this thing I'm protesting because I know you can do something about it. If you connect with that and you want God to help you in an area of your life, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you today. Good, good, good. Thank you, thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, "Lord Jesus, My heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I lay everything down, and I willingly give it to you. I roll the stone away, and I give you every part of me. I thank you for my second chance. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's give him a great hand clap of praise. I believe God's doing it today. He responds to our words, to our prayers.